And certainly it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to thank Brother Austin for coming this morning. Certainly we want to invite him and his precious family back. The Lord has placed something on our heart. And you know, in the day and the hour we live, I don't know. It's a desire of my heart to see the church encouraged and see the church comforted. And sometimes it's just good as a little old under-shepherd to be able to speak to your people and be able to try to encourage them in the Lord. Again, I've said, and this goes without, you know, I don't need to reiterate it, but this has been a hard year for the church, and it's not just been for the church, but it's been a hard year for a lot of people. I've never seen a year or a time like this, but yet we also have to understand that God is certainly in control of our situation, everything that's going on. Now, it's funny that y'all had in your Sunday school class the study y'all had, or what y'all were studying on this morning, was choice. And I'm going to tell you this, guys, God allows us a tremendous responsibility, and it is a tremendous blessing, and that is the power to choose what we do. We can choose to believe the Lord and be blessed, or we can choose to reject the Word of God and find ourselves in great peril and great trouble. And I believe with every decision we make, we either find ourselves closer to or maybe at times further away from God. And the decisions we make, they garner and they direct our lives in the direction that we go. We as a nation, here before long, we'll make a choice. And it will make a difference in the direction that our nation goes. When the Lord comes to you and the Spirit of God begins to convict your heart, at that point, you have a choice to respond or not respond. And the question that I want to ask you this morning, it's found in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I just want to read one verse, and then God has laid some other scripture on our heart. I don't know if we'll just mention it or preach it, but I do want to start, and this is a question that was asked in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And let me say this, that 53rd chapter of Isaiah is certainly that of a messianic a chapter. It talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It certainly tells us and points us to a time and to a sheep that would come and lay down his life for all of us. And here's a question that's asked in the 53rd chapter. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How thankful we are, God, to be gathered in the house of God this morning. Lord, we know that the house of God is not a sanctuary. It is where the people of God are gathered together. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And God, I pray this morning that we find ourselves in the liberty of the sons of God. And Father, you know my body is tired and my mind is weak, but God, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. God, I pray this morning, uplift that of your son, Jesus. Jesus, be glorified in the preaching of your word. God, I pray this morning, help all of us understand where we're at in the facet of time. Help us understand that, God, the decisions that we make direct the lives in the direction that our lives will travel. God, I pray every young man, woman, boy, or girl, hear this message and take it to heart. Understand that, God, we can choose to do good and be blessed, or choose to do evil and be cursed. And God, I like what old Joshua said whenever he proclaimed, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God, I pray this morning for that family that, Lord, is on the fence of whether or not to truly give themselves over and yield themselves ourselves to the service of God. Help them choose today to be in your service. God, we need every soldier, every man, woman, boy, or girl suited up with the armor of God and on the battlefield. Lord, I've never seen a time in my life when there's so much battling to be done for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. But God, I believe you can raise up an army in this generation, an army that'll love and forgive, an army that'll testify to the saving grace of Almighty God. And let me say, God, I'm glad that you drafted me into that army as a 12-year-old boy when conviction come to my heart. God, I didn't just come to you and say, I want to be a soldier, but God, you came to me and drafted me in. And now this morning, God, I pray, give my lips utterance, speak through me, let me be a little old vessel that men might see and hear that of your words. And I beg you this in Christ's name, and for your glory, amen. And amen. The question is asked in the book of Isaiah, who hath believed our reports? You know, we're living in a time where there are so many reports that are going on, it's almost like we're living in an alternative universe where half the population believe one thing and half the population believe another. I've never seen anything like this. When you flip on your television set, you got half, you know, you got half of one side of the story and then you've got half of another side of the story. And it's really hard in the day and age we live to disseminate all the information that comes into our lives and find out who is really telling the truth. But aren't you glad we've got a truth detector? Aren't you glad that the Word of God is truth? That Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to assure you of this morning. If it does not line up with your King James Bible, it is a lie. If it contradicts the words of God and what God has prophesied and said, it is a lie. And there are a lot of people in the day and age we live who are speaking from big places and the truth is not in them. But I want you to know, if you've been saved by the grace of God, there's some truth that dwells down inside your soul. Listen, it's said in one place that if it were possible in the last day that even the very elect would be deceived. But I'm glad we've got something in us that won't yield to what's going on around us. We know what the truth is because we've known the truth, and the truth has said us free. And if you're free in Christ, you're free indeed. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, to truly find liberty and freedom, you got to get born again and forgiven of your sin. Who have believed our report? You know, we look at our nation and look at the division, we say, why? This is the only time this has ever happened. You know what? The writer of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes both agreed that these things have always been. Until the Lord comes, they'll always be. There's nothing new under the sun. Why? It went on in the days of Adam and Eve. Remember in the garden how God said, when you eat of the fruit of that tree, ye shall surely die. And you know what happened? Satan came along and beguiled them and said, ye shall not surely die. And they had a choice to make. Will we believe God and what he has said, or will we believe that old serpent and believe what he said? They made the wrong choice and they believed the deceiver. And listen, they might not have died just in that moment, but I'll assure you spiritually, they were dead. Didn't just happen then. In the days of Noah, when he built the ark, he was a preacher of righteousness. He told them that judgment was coming, no doubt about it, and gave them the opportunity to be saved from the wrath of God, and said, I'm building an ark that God has told me to build, and everyone is welcome, ever whoso will, can come into the ark. But they did not believe the report of God, and as they were swept away, and their children were swept away in God's wrath through the flood, brothers and sisters, don't you know, they regretted the decision they had made. It goes far past that. Hey, Moses, in the days that God used him, remember out in the wilderness, the Bible said Korah withstood him, and there was a showdown out in the wilderness between God's man and God's people and some others that had sprung up with a different voice and a lie. God said, here's what I want you to do. All of you that are for Moses and Aaron and for God, you stand over here, and all of you that are for Korah and his group and his sons, you stand over here. And Moses said, what if God opened up the ground and swallowed you up? What if the earth, and as he spoke, the ground opened up and swallowed up the sons of Korah and killed all the princes that stood with him. What I'm telling you this morning is, when we make the wrong decision, it can cost us dearly. It can cost our families and our children and our marriages and our churches. And when we make a decision, we must pray, and it better line up with the Word of God. They go on a little bit further, and this is really what came to us this week, and I want to leave this in your hearing, but it's found in the 13th, 14th, and 15th chapter of the book of Numbers. They have made their way down through the wilderness, and they get right up to the river's edge. They get right close to the Jordan River. And now it's time to cross over. And Moses says, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to gather a man per tribe. There were 12 tribes. We're going to gather up 12 men, and we're going to send them over for 40 days and let them scout out the promised land. We're going to send them in and cover a night, let them cross over the Jordan River. We're going to send in those spies and let them bring back their report and tell us what we're up against. See, let me tell you something about the Word of God. It spied out the future. God knows what's going to happen. God knows what's in our future. He's told us they're going to be some suffering and some sorrow and some trials and some tribulations, but rejoice, he's overcome the world, and one day, after a while, we're going home. I spy this thing out. Send in 12 spies. The Bible tells us the names of all the spies, but I want to talk about two spies, that the ones that really matter. Caleb and Joshua, the son of Nun, were two of the spies. So they send the 12 in for 40 days. They do a scouting trip on the other side of the Jordan. For 40 days, they go through the land. And let me tell you what they find. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. They've never seen anything like it. My goodness, at the resources in that land. The ground is fertile everywhere. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, they brought back two staves full of clusters of grapes that were bigger than anything that they had ever seen in their lives. They were amazed at what they saw. All 12 said, oh, what a beautiful land. All 12 said, my goodness, we've never seen anything like it. It's exactly what God said it was. But they also saw something else. They saw walled cities. They saw adversaries. They saw men in there. The Bible calls them the sons of Anak. They were giants, big old men. 12 men go in. They come back and they give their report. And here's what 10 of them said. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a land like we've never seen. It is everything God said it was, but. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. What we're looking for in the land we're headed to is everything we've ever wanted. It's everything we've ever been told it was. It is. It does have walls of jasper. It does have gates of pearl. It is a beautiful land like our eyes have never seen, and there ain't no buts about it. But the sons of Anak, they're giants. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. They've got walled cities. Yes, it's a beautiful land, but we'll never get there. We'll never overtake the enemy. I'm gonna tell you, the church is suffering in the day and age we live from a great giant called discouragement. We've got to the place where we don't believe God can do some of the very things we've seen him do in the past. Shame on us. God has not changed. God still has a power. Tiffany, I'd love to get in some of them old meetings we got in years ago where we didn't know where the earth ended and heaven began. I'm telling you, we can still sit in heavenly places. But the report we're hearing is it'll never, ever be like it was. And I'm going to tell you, there's some of those things. The world is growing more wicked by the day. But does that change the power of God and what can God can do in the midst of his people? See, we bought hook, line, and sinker. Listen, hey, pay attention. Come on, get with me now. We bought hook, line, and sinker that the best days of the church are behind us, that we'll never see the revivals that we saw in the past, that we'll never see God move like he has in the Bible. I'm telling you, my God is not a has-been God. My God can do right now what he done years ago. You know, I know that. He's done it in my life. So many people are serving a has-been God. Ain't nothing has-been about God. He was in the past. He's right now. He'll be in the future. The same yesterday, today, and forever. But whose report will you believe? Out of 12 men, only two, Caleb and Joshua, said this: it is a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a land like our eyes have never seen. But we believe by the power of God we can take it. We can have it. We can possess it. There's something inside the hearts of Joshua and Caleb that say, just press on. Listen, don't you know they looked at the congregation and said, look where it's brought us from already. Is there anybody in the house of God this morning that God has brought you through some stuff, that God has brought you out of some stuff, that God made the sun shine in the darkest hour of your life? If God has brought us this far, what would make you think he won't carry us all the way? See, along with that faith that we, and the Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we got to rehearse these things, because all we hear on television, all we hear from the media is how the church don't have a place in the conversations that are going on around us, that the church has seen its best days, that those Christians just need to shut up and let us have our way. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't stand up, there won't be anything left to stand up for. Child of God, armor up, suit up, get on the battlefield. They've declared war, and God has said, go to battle. And we've got the greatest general that's ever been. He's never lost a battle. I'll tell you this, the battle's already been won. We just got to be willing to fight it. So many of God's people have gotten so discouraged. This is, so many of God's people will not believe that the power, I believe the power of God can shake us and wake us and move us. But you got to believe it in your heart. And I'm one little voice in the midst of 10 million voices that are saying the exact opposite. We have never seen a time in our nation like this. But Israel has already been through what we're going through right now. I'll tell you what they've done. Josh and Caleb said, we can take it. God's with us. We can go all the way. He said he would. He's made us some promises. Do you believe that God is not slack concerning his promises? Has some men count slackness? Do you believe that? Do you believe God is faithful? Do you believe what the writer of Ecclesiastes said when he said, great is thy faithfulness? Do you believe that God, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way even unto the end. Do you believe that? Whose report will you believe? Listen, there's a report out there that says you can live any way you want to. There is no God. Hey, there is no judgment. You can just live for yourself and live for what you want in the moment that you want it. I'm telling you, the Word of God said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if you reject Christ, you'll end up in hell. That's what the Word of God says. Do you believe that? If you believe that, you better do something about your lost condition if you've never been saved. Say, what can I do? You can pray. You can pray. Who has believed our report? Those 10 men, their words were so overcoming. They were more of them in number. You know what the people done? The people begin to cry. They begin to weep and cry and say, God and Moses, you brought us out here to die by the tip of the sword. You brought us out of the land of Egypt. You brought us out here so we can just die, even in the promised land. You know what, brothers and sisters? Every one of those that prophesied doom, they died. And the people said, let's make our own general and get him to lead us back to Egypt. And we'll just go back to the place where we were and become slaves again. There's a problem with that. See, I've tasted the liberty and the freedom of the grace of God. I will never go back. What is there to go back to? I've lived a sinner. I know what it's like to come to church and have all those negative emotions and feelings about what you done on Friday and Saturday night and how bad of a reprobate you are and how bad of a hypocrite you are. I've lived through that. I will not go back. You know why? Because I've tasted something better. My eyes have beheld something greater. I will not go back. I may die on this battlefield. Son, Austin, I may die with my sword in my hand. Son, I ain't going back. They don't have nothing to offer me. God's offered me everything. I've got a home in the heavens, not made with hands. He's given me everything. But God will not make you. God says to the church, choose you this day. I thank God for quiet like this. It means the Spirit of God's working. What are you going to do? What will you do from this point on? Because you know there's something better. You've at least felt a little of it. You've at least tasted a little of it. They wept and cried and said, make us a general. We'll just go back to where we come from. Do you realize in the day and age we live, most of our population says, give us a leader at the White House and we'll follow him. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who wins. I do care who wins the White House. And I'm not going to make, this ain't a political message. I'm going to tell you this. They're not going to be the one that we need to follow. Jesus is the one that we need to follow. God has left this generation. Now I want you to look at your brothers and sisters around you. This is the generation of the Lord right now. I don't know what tomorrow will hold, but what I got are the ones that are looking at my eyes right now, the ones that are looking in my face right now. I see some soldiers, Josh. Some men that have something down inside of them that's burning that says, we will not go back. And the cost is too great, Tyler. There's too many souls at stake. We can't sit down and give up now, Brooke. There's too many people that need to be saved. There's too many people that have already given up and they're watching in you. And God has laid it on our charge to live consistently, consistently, consistently before them, a life that glorifies Christ. And Lydia, all those children, every day they're watching you. Nathan, every day those three girls, they're watching you. Austin, I told you a minute ago, hang on to that little baby because he's going to grow up so fast. And son, he's going to want to be like his daddy. He's watching you. And what are we going to show them? These young people, men of God and ladies of God, they're watching us. How will we handle this? How? Some of them done gone on. Believe, brother, if they could, they'd be rooting us on from over there. They'd tell us it's worth every struggle. What will you do? What will I do? Oh, I'm going to be so candid with you. There have been times over this last 6 or 8 months that I've wanted to throw my hands up and quit. Not quit God, not quit the church. Just say, I'm just done with it all. I can't take this. This is just too much. God put something down on the inside, Chuck. He talks to me. When I'm wore out and weak and tired, he talks to me. And he says, wait a minute, son. We ain't come this far to turn back and give up now. Almost to the promise. Some of us are right at the Jordan River. We may not know it. We're closer to home than we've ever been. Will we give up? Or will we say, I know God is with us. We can take it. We can make a difference. Stand to your feet this morning. All over the house. Oh. You say, Brother Russell, what are you asking of me? I'm not asking a thing of you. Except one question. Whose report have you believed? Do you believe what God said about the church that we will overcome? Or do you believe that we're doomed to fail and to fall? As for me and my house, Mama, we're going to serve the Lord. We started on a journey a long time ago, baby. We're going to finish this thing out by the grace of God. Oh, this morning, if you need to pray, I don't know what you need to do this morning. And whenever I say that, if you need to come, dedicate your life to the Lord, whatever you need to do this morning is between you and Jesus. Y'all want to get us a song. As Roger and Stevie, Barry, come up. Catch you on one side. I got you, brother. No. We're going to have you. You got him, man. Stand to your feet. You already are, ain't you? I hope and I pray that this message has touched your heart, not because I'm the one that preached it, but because God sent it. And I'm telling you, church, don't give up. If you need to pray, you come as they sing. What you got, Steve?